My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David.
I'm Richard Ray.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Colin. I'm sorry, but it was so funny. like just right before we were talking, Ray was about to get into this deep, like, kind of conversation, and he was about to talk, and then David just cut it off and was like, Star Wars Stuff Podcast.
Got to capture the magic for the people.
Yeah. So, yes, this is where we talk about all stuff Star Wars. And yeah, there's a lot of news that kind of dropped, a lot of different things.
Yeah.
The big news that just dropped right before the podcast.
Blue Milk is back.
Oh, man.
Let's go. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe we'll talk about that later. But the big news is that we got this alert all over social media.
Yes.
Mark your calendar. Star Wars Fan Star Wars Celebration tickets launch in May. Tickets will go on sale on Thursday, May 2nd at 7 p.m. Eastern time, / Friday, May 3rd, 8 a.m. Japan time. So we all know it's going to take place in Japan. It's going to take place in a city called Makuhari Mesa. Fans of all ages from across the world will come together to celebrate the cultural phenomenon Star Wars. Make celebration your next incredible vacation and create memories in a galaxy far, far away. Get ready for major announcements, immersive exhibits, an interactive show floor screenings, exclusive merchandise, celebrity guests, panels, autograph sessions, fan-inspired activities, costumes, and other surprises coming soon. There's a second part to this I'll read as well with the key art. If you're watching us on YouTube, thank you so much. Hit the like button. So we are proud to unveil the key art for the Star Wars Celebration Japan. It's a Vader. If you're listening to us on audio, it's Vader. It's essentially the Japanese flag with some TIE fighters in the background and Mount Fuji in the middle of the red dot on the Japanese flag there. And I think there's actually, it looks good. The rest of this says, the key art 2025 features a looming presence of Vader accompanied by beautiful cherry blossoms, which is also going to be a big theme, I think, on a lot of people's merch. Sweeping ink strokes, X-Wings, TIE fighters, and Imperial AT-ATs, or AT-ATs, whatever you want to say, feature prominently in the foreground, while the rising sun, Mount Fuji, contained within the completes the stunning piece. There will be limited pre-sale for 2023 Jedi Master VIP ticket purchasers to have first access to Jedi Master VIP tickets for Japan 2025. The VIP pre-sale will take place Wednesday, May 1st at 12 p.m. That's if you already had purchased VIP tickets in the past.
Yeah.
And there will be Jedi Master VIP tickets available during both the pre-sale and general on-sale. But if you've been listening to our podcast, everyone knows that the Jedi Master VIP sell out in nanoseconds. Yeah.
So I don't like how they changed it again, shocker, that of where they, you know, are now giving the people who have bought, you know, tickets in the past to now they have this opportunity, I say privilege, to go and get these tickets, you know, potentially before everyone else. Again, it's just like
I think it's actually been like that in the past couple of celebrations they've done.
Really?
That. VIP.
I don't remember them advertising it like that.
I don't think they advertised it as in front as they're doing right now. But I think that's been the case. And I think the people that have been VIPs have continued to be VIPs. So it's kind of hard to kind of get in that loop. But
it's a click, guys.
Hopefully this year, this will be David and mine's year. This is the year that David and I are getting VIPs. This is it. This is the one.
Hopefully. Oh, man, I mean, that all kind of works out maybe. But if you go to the Star Wars Celebration site, they actually dropped the pricing.
They did. Which
they didn't share with you on social media. So if you can see my screen right now, it's a $993.25 ticket for all 3 days of celebration, April 18th through the 20th in the year 2025, next year.
And or what does you that include, David?
Well, it includes everything. I mean, you don't have to wait in lines.
Yep.
I think you get like a gift bag You get to go to all the panels. There's no lottery shenanigans. Or the 3-day adult, which is $168.85. And that's just the basic general admission. There's a 3-day kids for $42.35, ages 6 through 12. So
something else as well that probably the Disney fans will know this, but Disneyland over in Japan is around $60, I believe, of just like a one park day ticket, which isn't bad at all. So I would definitely look into that. And they do have Star Tours over there as well. So that's pretty cool. So
nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of like San Diego to a certain extent. They do the same thing as well. So like with you always get the 4-day event pass. At the end of the convention, they'll tell you, oh, do you want to sign up again for next year? Where you get like kind of early access to a certain extent. So it's kind of the same premise. And then you have your choices of the lower end tier, which is different.
Yeah, so I just put up a map on screen from Google, and it shows you the route from the airport, and it goes through, if you look at the very middle, there is Tokyo Disneyland. So it's in the middle between your travel between the airport and the actual convention center, which is Makuhari Mesa.
There you go.
I'm surprised they don't have a ferry that goes directly right across.
They probably do. It's only a 40-minute drive. I mean, I think there's potential for that. Yeah. But I think somebody told me there is a train system to go from the airport directly to the convention center. Hmm. Not sure, but
yeah.
Okay, so Dave is driving if we go.
I don't think we're going to be driving this time around. And David knows exactly what I'm talking about. I don't think we're really going to be driving. I mean, not that many people drive in Japan.
I know. I was just being
okay. Yeah. I was like, I don't think we'll be driving on this trip. But, right now for our podcast, I know it's going to be me, David, Josh. We're getting James to go because I know this was something high on his list. And then Ray,
James lives the closest.
Oh, true. Yeah. And then Ray, you said you're potentially going?
Yeah, I have to apply for a freaking passport. I don't have a passport. So I have to get that first before I can officially say I can try to go.
So you're saying there's a chance they might deny you? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's that I don't have a passport. I've never applied for one.
I mean, it's not a big deal to me. It's like getting a driver's license.
No.
It just takes about 3 months.
Yeah. David and I weren't the smartest, and we kind of waited until the last minute to get ours. I think I got my passport maybe like 2.5 weeks before we were supposed to go to London. And I think David got yours just before, right?
Well, they told me wait 3 months, and I waited right until that time. So I was really worried, but I think I got it two weeks before. Maybe a month.
So
I can't remember.
Terrifying, man.
I don't care. It worked out, so I wiped that from my brain.
Yeah. Hey, I just remember David and I were just like, okay, well, if our passports come in time, they come in time. If they don't, they don't. But me, I was dying inside. I was like, I have to go. I really have to go to London. So I was so pumped. And that celebration was fantastic. And it was our first time ever leaving the country. So,
Well, going overseas. I've been
overseas.
So did you dress up, Colin, while you were up there at all in cosplay or no?
I was supposed to get my Narkina prison suit, but my suit didn't come in time. I've already ranted about that a while ago, and I'll just leave it at that. I got big plans for this celebration. So
okay, so what do you think the airport would do if we, let's say we were to all go?
Yes.
And we got those prison outfits and we actually wore them to the airport to get on the plane. What do you think they would do?
That's packing light, but at the same time, it's just like
they let these guys have passports.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it would be funny. I think a lot of the Star Wars fans going, you know, to all the airports would be like, I know exactly what that is. And then all the normal people would walk by and be like, I'm going to call the cop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Pops, I don't know what's going on here, but yeah.
Well, Ray, it's funny that you mentioned that because there is precedence for this. So back in the day, I guess around Force Awakens time, I think Colin bought the Poe Dameron helmet and he was like, there's no way to pack it in my luggage. So I told him, just wear it on the plane.
Yes. And I ended up doing that. And that was also the same weekend that I won the giant 4-foot porg at
Target's Force Friday. Yeah.
Yes. So wow. that was a really interesting plane ride because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if they were like, no, you can't take this. But I just remember convincing people at the airport because I was scared that porg was going to be stolen. Yeah. I convinced people that it was a new species that was discovered of where it was a mixture of a penguin and a seal. And people actually bought that story. So, oh man. Yeah. So,
but yeah. In reality, you had to tell them that was like your emotional support pet or something.
Or yeah.
Helmet. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. It worked out. It was great. Hey, I remember
what you got to do.
Yeah. Man, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, I cannot wait until this year's celebration.
Yeah.
Hopefully the next one will be back in the States.
It has to be because it's the 50th anniversary of Star Wars.
Yeah. I think the big one that I'm hoping for, fingers crossed, hopefully soon it will come back to Orlando. Just everything going on over there. I won't get into it that much, but with everything over there, it was kind of skipped. So it probably should have been in Orlando earlier, but, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully the next one will be Orlando or, you know, it could be in Texas. It could be back in Chicago. It could be anywhere.
About Michigan? Make it easy for us.
I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath of it being in Detroit. I mean, I guess there is.
No, some it won't stores. Be. Let's play the convenience card, though.
Yeah. Well, there is some Star Wars connections, I guess, from Michigan, because I think a couple of people like who have been in Star Wars are from Michigan. So
sure.
You know. Carl Weathers.
Yep. There's always that opportunity. So, you know, who knows? But I think Chicago, I wouldn't complain because I've got so many connections in Chicago. And I remember back in 2019, I told David and we figured that out. And that trip was probably one of my favorite celebrations, like besides 2017. But yeah, Star Wars Celebration is a blast. If you guys haven't gone yet, go. Japan, you know, if you ever wanted to, you know, go and visit a beautiful country, go and do that. And then, you know, have celebration there. But Star Wars Celebration is fantastic. And it's just such a wonderful opportunity if you're a Star Wars fan.
So for Chicago, where was it held in Chicago?
It was over at the McCormick place.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I went to Wizard World one time and there was like right across the convention center, there's like a big hotel and then there's like a steak joint. Dude, I haven't eaten a steak that good. No. I haven't found one that good compared to that
place. We went to a Chicago pizza place and we had like a big argument. Well, not David and I. It was Craig and it was James. And I don't think we fully remember what the actual like debate was, but I just remember
the last sitting.
Jedi, okay. Well,
brings everyone together.
Yeah, sitting at the table, I just remember just of them getting in a heated debate, and I'm just eating my pizza, and I look up at David, and David's just like,
I was enjoying it. It was fun. It was cool because James and Joseph hadn't met Craig yet, so that was like the first time meeting. And then
corn muffins in the morning
on one side of the debate of The Last Jedi, and James and Joseph on the totally other. So
it was so fun.
It was interesting to see them go back and forth. So James says it was delicious pizza. James, why don't you hop on?
And we come on. But yeah, so that is that was a super fun announcement. The other big one that I think all of us are excited for is that not only is the Phantom Menace coming to theaters, but the Skywalker saga is coming back to theaters, which is, you know, extremely exciting, especially for those who haven't had the opportunity of seeing all the other films in theaters. Like, I'm kind of looking at Zach because he's the youngest person here. but seeing all these films on the big screen again is just going to be fantastic. And I think right before, Ray was asking us of what movies, like of all the Star Wars films that we have seen in theaters. I have seen all 9 in theaters. I know David has. Ray, you were about to say it, and then, like, you know.
We started the podcast, so we can actually officially talk about it.
I saw all of them in theaters, except for the first one, New Hope. I saw that one first time in VHS, and then when they did the remastered, I got to see it in theaters. But Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, I got to see them, you know, when they came out on the weekends. They came out.
Oh, nice.
So it and actually, tell you the truth, it was funny because that theater's still here in San Antonio where I first saw those two movies, which is crazy.
Which theater?
Northwest 14, Santico's, off of I-10. It's a small theater. It's not that big. I mean, it's old school. They had redid it a while back, but it's old, man.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. But that's why I saw my first two.
What Colin was talking about was there is going to be a new marathon, and there is an article off of Star Wars News Net. I'm going to read it here. All 9 Star Wars saga films coming to theaters on May the 4th. A new look at the Acolyte as well, tied to the Phantom Menace screenings. So StarWars.com has confirmed that an exclusive look at The Acolyte will play after The Phantom Menace during its May re-release. They also said that tickets will go on sale Friday, March 22nd, which is this Friday, at 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Eastern. They have also confirmed of rumors of a theatrical re-release of all 9 Skywalker saga films, though the preview for The Acolyte will only be tied to The Phantom Menace screenings. It will happen on Star Wars Day, May the 4th. Tickets will go on sale tomorrow. So that is it for that article. So, yeah, I'm probably going to try and do that. May 4th is going to be what? That Saturday?
Yeah.
So what theater are we doing? What theater do you think we're going to go to, David?
Well, it depends on what theater's showing it.
Yes. That's the thing that is kind of confusing because the article didn't officially say it's going to be an AMC or a Celebration Cinema here in Michigan. It's just, they just said it's back in theaters. So I guess the best advice that I can probably give everyone is check your movie theater websites first thing in the morning. Tickets will be going on sale at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So on the, you know, on the time frame that it says in the website, just get there kind of early on the websites, just kind of browse and kind of check and search Star Wars. I know Zach and I are going to our theaters here in person, which most theaters are okay with, especially AMC. Fun fact about that, sometimes you can get there a day early and get the tickets a day early before the tickets actually go on sale. Because we did that for Thor. We did that for the new Spider-Man, because tickets weren't actually going on sale on Thursday, unless they were online. But if you went that Wednesday, you walked in the day before, you could do it in person. So
that's awesome.
So that's kind of a theater hack, but they're not doing that for for our theater in Michigan, but most AMCs do that because we used to do that at Disney Springs all the time. But yeah, so.
Yeah, I remember when servers went down for The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And I think Infinity War, people just ended up walking to the box office and getting their tickets that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which
Spider-Man was a big crash too.
Oh yeah.
If you live close, that's the move. But I mean, if you live far away from your chosen theater, you're kind of stuck. But
yeah. So
when I used to work at the comic book stores, all the employees one person would go and buy 10 to 12 tickets.
Oh,
and
yeah.
At one hit. Like, this was pre where you're able to pick your seats. So it was kind of like you had to stand in line, get there early if you wanted to get good seats. I love the picking the seats now because that's way better.
Yeah. My coworker was talking to me today at work because I'm like, dude, Phantom Menace sale, or, you know, tickets are about to go on sale. And he's like, dude, I did that back in 1999 when we had to wait to get a wristband to get in line to buy tickets. I'm like, geez, dude, that's crazy. And then you get to the theater hours ahead of time and wait to get in. Part of me wishes I had that experience, but
no, I'm
also thankful for the convenience of technology today. But
yeah, that experience is kind of one of those, like, you look fondly back on it, but like now, I think for me and Ray, especially being older, we don't want to stay up till midnight and then have to watch the movie and then go to work the next day and then wait in line, stand up or sit down on like the sidewalk or the street. Yeah, it's not the best when you're older, I don't think so.
Yeah,
but I mean, we have those memories though, so
yeah. Hey, but definitely. We're close to getting senior citizens discount though, so that we gotta get forward to.
Come on.
No, I'm just kidding.
So yeah, continuing with that bit of news on the marathon, which I hope we can all attend and everyone listening and watching can all attend that and have a good time. So The Phantom Menace is going to be re-released, and it's going to come out in 4K. And actually, there's a continuation of that article that I was reading here. It states from StarWarsNewsNet.com, not 12 hours have passed since the first trailer of for The Acolyte hit online, and we're already thinking about the next one. After online rumors and plenty of speculation, AMC Theaters has confirmed that a new look at the Leslie Headland series will be tied to the re-release of The Phantom Menace on May 3rd through the 5th. There's a statement that says, after the feature, so after The Phantom Menace, fans will get a special first look at the Star Wars The Acolyte series coming to Disney Plus June 2024. And I don't think they've said
the whole movie.
Yeah. I don't think they've said exactly what we're going to see and how long the footage is, but there's going to be something. The rest of the article states this will happen on the first weekend of May when The Phantom Menace will be re-released in North American theaters to celebrate the film's 25th anniversary.
So
it will also happen 1 month before the series debuts on Disney Plus, which lines up with the time. We would expect a second trailer. However, descriptions of the special promo seem more in line with that Andor behind the scenes footage that played in front of the Rogue One screen back in 2022.
I was about to say that,
to capitalize on the social media boost acquired by said featurette, Lucasfilm could release another trailer for the show a couple of days later. Additionally, in recent days, there have been some rumors that on the same weekend, Disney will also re-release in 4K all three films, which we all know that's true now, and the prequel trilogy, all in 4K. This has definitely not been confirmed. It actually has been. This is a little old. This has been updated. But yeah, we're going to get a special look. If it's going to be like the Andor special look, it's not going to be that much per se, but I think that Andor scene they gave us was kind of interesting. But I think even as Star Wars fans, we would probably all attend it and kind of celebrate the Phantom Menace anyways.
Yeah the marathon. They're also giving out a small small poster as well, kind of like the posters that they give out to fans when they go to Celebration after a panel. Most of the time they would have like a free poster.
Oh, is this poster?
It honestly probably will be. I don't know if it's going to be like the actual like Acolyte like kind of thing where it has at the bottom. I would just hope it would just be like the classic Phantom Menace thing, which I think would be super cool. But most likely they'll do the same protocol as they did for Rogue One, of where they showed like a scene from Andor, and they actually talked about the show Andor, and then they just went and played the movie. But this time it's happening afterwards, so it could be longer. Who knows? But yeah, no, I'm definitely excited, because if we get any chance to see, you know, Jar Jar Binks pod racing and Darth Maul versus Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn on the big screen, sign me up. Yeah. I'm there, 100%. So I'm so excited.
So I got a question.
Yeah, the lightsaber fight alone is worth the price.
Yeah,
so I got a question for all of you guys.
All right.
So would you watch it in D-Box seats?
D-Box seats? Well, most theaters don't do D-Box anymore. So I saw the second Hobbit in D-Box seats. and I remember Smaug just running through the mountain, and every time he stepped, like your seat would move like that. And I think the funniest part was, you know, for all of, you know, those fans of Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit movies, there is the dwarf Bomber who ends up in a barrel, and he gets on land and he bounces, like of that scene where he bounces on the ground. Like, our seats would go up and down all over the place and when that was happening. And that really kind of, like, you know, kind of stuck with me. But then shortly after, they discontinued the D-Box seats for the most part. There's not that many theaters that do D-Box. I mean,
it's pretty short-lived.
Yeah. Well, no, the reason I was asking, because last night me and David got to see Ghostbusters last night. And there was a group of people who actually had the seats, and I kind of saw them
move. Oh.
Yeah, so
where I was kind of curious. Were they behind me in front of
you? Yeah, they were behind you in front of me. But yeah, I kind of saw them. It was kind of weird. That's what I was kind of asking. I was like, I'm kind of interested. D-Box, I would kind of want to watch it.
Yeah. It was a Cinemark theater.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I was going to say, not that many theaters have D-Box seats anymore. So that's pretty cool. I would definitely see it in D-Box seats for sure.
I've never seen a movie sitting in D-Box.
Neither have I.
I haven't either. But I don't know if I'd want to see them all in a row in D-Box. Like, God forbid, I need to rest my eyes for 20 minutes. But then, you know, Starfighter takes off and, you're just back into
it. I feel like it would be like Star Tours, but like 2 hours long.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That'd be funny.
Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
That would be wild.
So... let's talk about the announcement that, you know, that we've all been waiting for, which is Trumu, the milk brand that, you know, has been doing milk for a long time, has a partnership with Lucasfilm, apparently, and they are going to be debuting their blue milk for, I think, just that day of where it will only be in stores, or it might be just until they sell out. But either way, I am gonna buy a bunch, like, of just to say, like, I've got blue milk. This is great. Yeah. It will not be the same as Galaxy's Edge. I gotta be very clear on that for all my friends that are big fans of Galaxy's Edge. It's not gonna be blue milk from Galaxy's Edge in a carton. It's going to be a carton of milk that's just going to be dyed blue. I don't think it's going to be like a blueberry flavor or anything. It's just going to be that color of blue, but still pretty cool. It's still going to have the Star Wars logo on it, which is cool. There it is. In all of its glory. There it is. Look at that.
Are they going to have lactose-free one for us?
I would hope so, because I am lactose intolerant. So, but I was going to buy some anyways, just because, you know, it's Star Wars. So you have to go buy it. My poor wife. But yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know it was blueberry milk that they gave you at Galaxy's Edge. That's pretty cool.
It's not blueberry exactly. I can find the ingredients, but it tastes like a slushy. I guess that's kind of like the best way to say it. Like, but in a very,
it's slushy and it's fruit based.
Yeah.
So it's not actual milk. Yeah. Because you don't want to be drinking milk and like super is this like 200% humidity.
I would think so. I could probably see Target doing it and stuff like that. I really don't see it being at Aldi, which would be cool, but I don't see like, you know, I could see it at Walmart as well. But I can do the blue milk. I can't do the green milk of Galaxy's Edge just because of that scene from The Last Jedi where Luke Skywalker just wipes his lips and he's like, ugh. And I'm just like, nah, I can't do this. I'm sorry. But yeah.
Okay, well, there's an article here on IGN that I can read about the blue milk. So
it's
entitled Star Wars Blue Milk Can Soon Finally Be Consumed at Home, if you're into that. Star Wars fans longing for a taste of some mysterious blue milk will soon be able to sip on the galaxy's infamous beverage. In a press release, Lucasfilm released a slate of new products as part of the month-long celebration of Star Wars villainy dubbed Imperial March. The post mentions that Lucasfilm is partnering with the milk brand Trumu to craft the beverage. The Star Wars Trumu Blue Milk by Dairy Farmers of America Trumu is described as a delicious vanilla-flavored milk with blue food coloring.
Okay.
Fans can expect to see it on store shelves beginning April 17th. Aside from the fact that you can check for the obvious bottle of blue liquid, you can see an image below of what the packaging will look like, which is on our screen right now. It's of, if you're listening on audio, it's Luke fighting Vader in a kind of a cartoon style, animated style.
Yeah, Empire.
Fans of the series are all too familiar with the blue milk, a popular beverage found on the Outer Rim, such as the planet Tatooine. The beverage first appeared in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, in a scene where Mark Hamill's Luke Skywalker is seen talking to his Uncle Owen while eating a meal. And you could spot the beverage as a background piece. Funny enough, Hamill would later reveal on Twitter that the blue milk was disgusting. Of course, this is not Disney's first time trying to capitalize on one of the Star Wars most iconic beverages. Those who attend Disneyland or Walt Disney World and head over to the amusement park Star Wars Galaxy's Edge section can get a nice cold glass of blue milk, even though it's not milk. That, however, isn't actually milk, but rather a smoothie that also comes in green color variant, referencing the green milk Skywalker is seen consuming aggressively in The Last Jedi.
Oh my goodness.
No.
So funny enough, yeah, so I'm not the biggest fan of The Last Jedi, but I do prefer the green milk over the blue milk in taste.
I
would
do
rather
it
be the opposite.
No way.
Do it.
No way. We gotta run a poll, blue milk or green milk. And I'd imagine most people pick blue milk, but to me it makes me think of like melted Blue Moon ice cream.
Oh wait, okay. Now I've got a question. Of course, when I decide to stop drinking milk, what's that about?
I mean, hey, we all probably get a little gassy.
Is your child like a toddler?
like, are you just saying like, you know what? This is enough. I'm done with it. I'm cutting myself off. Like,
no thanks. I'm trying to quit.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're listening to us on audio, Voodoo Child Cosplay on YouTube made the statement, of course, when I decided to stop drinking milk. So I myself, so I'm 42 years old. I stopped drinking milk like 10, 15 years ago because
I love how we're
I never drank milk out of a glass. I would eat cereal. So I used cereal with milk and cereal. But I started to notice I would feel weird afterwards. And
your bones are stronger.
And I figured out that, yeah, it was the milk that was making me feel weird. So I don't know if I'm on the road to being lactose intolerant, because I can eat ice cream.
Dude, we're all lactose intolerant a little bit.
Yeah, I guess. And I mean, we're the only mammals that consume milk after we're not babies. We're not technically supposed to be consuming milk.
Well, and it's another animal's, like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, our bodies aren't made to digest that.
Science,
perfectly, yeah, you know, but I'm not going to let a couple toots stop me from enjoying some blue milk, guys. It's going to be real.
Right,
okay. So question, guys. Now I got to ask all of you guys.
Here we go.
So I would have the blue milk with cereal. That's what I'm going to do. I don't drink it either.
Oh, yeah.
What cereal would you be eating with your blue milk?
My favorite cereal of all time, and I think it's discontinued. I don't think they sell anymore, or it's very hard to find, which is Waffle Crisp. That was the best cereal back in the day. But they discontinued it and I never had it again. And I remember it was really, really funny. I went to a friend's house and I think it was like 5 or 6 years later after they discontinued it. And I saw it in his pantry and I pulled it out. I was like, where did you get this? And he's like, I know a guy. And I was like, I don't want to know what that means, but I'm going to have some of the cereal. But yeah, no, that, as far as I know, they really don't make it anymore. I'm trying to search for it. you can buy it off Amazon, I guess, but it's not really in stores, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. But Waffle Crisp is my favorite cereal. Zach, how about you?
I'd do Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I think that's a no-brainer for me personally. That's what I got in my pantry right now. And I mean, maybe Captain Crunch, but I don't think it would complement that as well as it would complement some Cinnamon Toast Crunch, in my opinion.
Now, before you answer, David, before you guys were born, they had R2-D2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, C-3PO cereal back in the day.
Okay.
And, yeah. So, if Disney was smart, you would re-release that cereal with the blue milk, and boom, you're making money like crazy.
Hand over fist. Yeah, I mean, that's a great marketing idea, Ray. That would be awesome. Just re-release the original packaging. You don't need to retro actively create. Just release the same print on the box. It would do fine. But I was just thinking right now, I don't know if you guys agree with this or if this was weird or what, but I remember as a kid in the 80s, I don't know why we did this, but we would get the Star Wars cereal boxes and we would put them on our, because there was different characters, we would put them on our table. And for some reason, we like taking pictures with them. And I have a lot of pictures of myself and my family with these Star Wars. I don't know why we did
that. That's cool. David, did you eat paint chips when you were a kid?
I don't think so.
I'm just kidding. That's from Tommy Boy for those at home who might not know. But
yeah, well, so I think people from, I mean, me specifically, probably from my generation will remember when the Phantom Menace, and I think Attack of the Clones, they have the lightsaber spoons, right?
Dude, I got one upstairs and an Indiana Jones one.
Yes, and those were just fire. I miss the prizes and the cereal boxes.
I know.
Oh, man. It was so cool because we had to convince my parents to be like, Mom, we need 6 boxes of cereal. And my mom would be like, why? I'm like, just do it. Just
got to get all just the colors.
Just get it. Yep. And we had the Qui-Gon Jinn one. We had the Obi-Wan one. I think we had the Darth Maul one.
Weren't they all the same hilt but different colors?
Yeah.
See, that's another marketing right there. They could do that and just re-release those spoons for us grown-ups.
Dude, I'm going to break out that spoon. It's in my house somewhere. Get that out for some blue milk cereal. Clean that puppy
up.
I don't know.
I don't know if it became a safety issue, of why they stopped doing of the prizes and cereal boxes, because I could see from a business standpoint of someone getting a box of cereal and then they just start eating and then they get the prize, they start eating the prize and you're just like, well, what's going on? So
packaged separately, you have the bag, right? And wasn't it usually underneath in its own separate bag, or was it in the cereal?
Sometimes, but I know there are cases where it was in the actual bag of cereal. Yeah,
because you'd think the people who manufacture the cereal don't manufacture the stuff they give away, but you never know. Quality control.
And also back in the day, since they didn't have, you couldn't go and buy C-3PO's mask and Vader's mask at that point. They would have it on the cardboard box, like David was saying, and you would cut it out.
Yeah,
and then it had 2 little holes you poke in the side, and you can put it on your face. It's kind of cheesy, but
do you remember the prize that was in those boxes, Ray?
Oh man, I'm trying to remember. It wasn't that great. I think it was stickers or something.
Well, see, what I remember is it was the tractor beam. That's what I'm pulling from my memory. It was it almost looked like a syringe without the skinny part. And he would put it together, and it was the tractor beam. And it's why would you put a tractor beam toy? Unless my memory is all foggy, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's been so long, but I haven't remember. But I remember the box. I can remember it clearly right now of how it looked. Yeah. You know, it was just blue with the C-3PO on it and everything like that. But I don't know. Those are the good old days. That's when, I think they stopped putting toys in the boxes. It was because it persuaded kids to buy that cereal because of what was inside it, not what the food was.
That's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Money's money, dude. Money's money, man.
Yeah, I think that's why they stopped putting toys in the box. That's why we don't have it no more.
Is it my fault, guys? Did I do it?
Dang. No. Okay, yeah, so this, y'all had to be around for this one. So I'm surprised that Lucasfilm didn't do this back in the day. I'm pretty sure this is in Zach and Colin's time frame. Go-Gurt?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Dude.
Yes.
You should freeze those bad boys.
I love the lightsaber Go-Gurts. I know they had like the Cheetos too of like certain Cheetos would be able to change like the color in your mouth. So I remember we did this for my birthday party around Revenge of the Sith. And if someone like got like a blue Cheeto, they would be on the light side team. And then if someone got like the dark side Cheeto and they would be in the dark side team, and somehow everyone got like an actual, like where the teams were equal. And we just had a big lightsaber fight in my backyard. And I was like, nice. So,
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, man, it was a thing.
Yeah. See, right there. Like the only reason why I know about Go-Gurt, guys, is because my daughter, that's all she would freaking eat,
dude.
And that's why I know about that.
Yeah, we used to freeze them and bring them in our lunch, and they'd be relatively thawed out by the time it was lunchtime, and it kind of keep your lunch cool when I was growing up. But for those of you,
is it good?
I mean, yeah, it's as good as I don't know. It's like, I can't explain yogurt, it, Ray. It's yogurt with clever marketing, and it worked. But for those of you guys who are watching us, this is the spoon that Colin and I were talking about.
Yeah,
this is the same one that I
got
somewhere. The batteries are beyond dead, but it's somewhere in my house. I gotta break that puppy out when the blue milk comes back.
Okay, so whoever's out there, because there's 3D printers out there and stuff, they need to remake this for us grown-ups that we could change the batteries out and we can actually use it to eat with. That's money in the bank right there. Whoever can make that for adults, boom, you're making money.
Yeah, for sure. And I know the spoon blade thing was detachable. Yeah. And all that good stuff.
Yeah. So you wash that piece and not wash the electronic.
Yeah. Thing. You wash it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
All right. So if everyone watched and listened to our previous podcast about the Acolyte, we were going through the trailer. I know Retro Ray and I did a Patreon only episode of going through the Acolyte trailer. And, no one could figure out exactly what species Daphne Keene was playing. And apparently she is a species that we're all familiar with. And we just kind of forgot because of all the Star Wars info that we have cascading through our minds there. She is actually this species here to the left. It's that dancer from Return of the Jedi where Boba Fett puts his hand on her chin and walks by.
Yeah.
That's the same species. They're called Thelans.
Thelans.
And somebody made a post that I'll put up here about that fact. Daphne Keene is playing a Thelan human hybrid named Jackie Lon in The Acolyte. She's also known for playing Laura, X-23, and Logan, and is rumored to be returning for Deadpool and Wolverine. And there you can see a picture.
So
she's definitely a lot older now.
Where did that information actually come from? Like, is this just a guess, or did this actually come from the Star Wars page and stuff?
No, it's not from the Star Wars page, but I mean, it looks like the same species, so it's pretty right on. And the whole like Thelan human hybrid thing, if you go to Wikipedia, all Thelans are hybrids of humans. It's kind of weird. Sure. So
okay, all right,
so we see one in the Clone Wars, don't we? I'm pretty sure there's a Thielen that works with Dengar on the train. With the train
we've
ice.
Seen them before in other spots. It's just that they've never been in the forefront. So this is going to be the first time that
she
actually
had a weird like whip type chain thing. I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah. Yep. I know who you're talking about.
I can't remember her name, but maybe we'll see her in the Bad Batch. I don't know.
So, hey, quick question. Y'all haven't bought up what went down today in New York, though.
The Imperial March. Because do you not get it? Because, you know,
uh-huh.
Imperial.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was the actual advertisement. I'm disappointed all three of you right now.
Dog, I was
it worth talking about on the podcast, though?
Yeah, dude. Freaking was down down in New York and up in the Empire State Building. Oh. They did a big ceremony up there and everything.
Dang.
Yep. That's where they announced like a bunch of different things, and including like, you know, some of the new Lego stuff going on, Funko Pops.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
They used for the advertisement. It was nice.
Yes. Hence the joke, Imperial March, which the three of you didn't get. And I'm
going to I got it.
You didn't laugh, Ray. You didn't laugh.
I still don't get it. What's the joke?
Because it's
March
the month of March and then Imperial.
Yeah. So they don't say Imperial February.
Yes. Imperial March.
Sorry, David.
That's horrible.
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
I think it is. Wait.
Not Imperial February or Imperial April.
Imperial March, like May the 4th be with you.
I'm
David.
That's not really a joke, more than it's just like wordplay.
It's a good play on words, man.
It is a good play on words. That's why I'm surprised that they've never done it before. I was like, oh, that's clever. I'm surprised.
That is a little surprising they've done that before.
Yeah.
And I mean, Empire State Building, Imperial.
Yeah.
It was cool. I liked it. He was posted with Vader and stuff, and then he was at the top of the building, and he was kind of in there like a black trench coat kind of looking.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
He had the high ground. Good for him.
Yeah, that was nice.
That's sweet.
I'm guessing that the stormtroopers there were probably members of the 501st. So good for them. If that's the case, I bet they had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's fun. All right. Well, moving on.
Imperial March.
Any more snack themes?
Themes per se, but there is an article that I do want to touch on about the Acolyte. So this actually did drop, and I don't think a lot of people spoke about it, but it's a conversation, I believe, with Leslie Headland, who is the showrunner for the Acolyte, and she directed, she directed and wrote the first episode for sure. And she says in this article, whatever you think the Acolyte is, it's not. Star Wars series creator Leslie Headland reveals in the first teaser trailer. The showrunner behind the Star Wars original series, debuting June 4th on Disney Plus, talks about her film influences and love of Legends lore.
Yes.
And this is actually by Kristen Baver.
Yeah. She actually did quote more about that, which she said, there's some EU lore that I decided to put in because I thought it was so cool and no one told me I couldn't. There are a couple of really big EU ideas that are utilized both early on in the series and later in the series.
Nice.
So, you know, there could be a flashback to Darth Raven which has been fan casted to be Keanu Reeves. You know, I love that. I could see them doing a flashback, like maybe they have an old Sith holocron and then he's in there or something like that. Like, who knows? But there's always the opportunity of bringing Legends into Star Wars. It's just they have to do it in the right way. And having it in flashbacks or Sith visions or something or holocron would be awesome. So bring it on. Let's go.
Is Force Justice Legends? Is that how you say it? Is that the, like, I'm trying to remember. It's like light side force lightning. Is that what it's called? Force
Justice? Oh, yes. Yes. So it was canon that was an ability that Plo Koon could do, actually.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was Legends or not, but okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's canon just because we haven't seen it yet. And I don't think in any of the books, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's still Legends.
Cool. Maybe we'll see that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't
know. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, and speaking of Plo Koon, Colin thinks that's not Plo Koon in the
trailer. Yeah, I'm just going to be very brief. I love the theory. Don't get me wrong. I would love, you know, how cool would it be if James Arnold Taylor came in because he voiced him in the Clone Wars. How cool would it be if he was the person wearing the suit and then he actually got to, you know, play him on set? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a, you know, it's cool. A terrible theory. I love that theory. But there are other Jedi in that era that are his species. He is not the only Keldor out there. There are other Keldor out there that are Jedi. So I would love it for it to be Plo Koon, but I don't want to just to confirm that's Plo Koon because of I don't want to get my hopes up, and I don't want other people to get their hopes up. But it would be very, very cool if it was.
What if they dressed up Dave Filoni in that species? Like, that'd be sick. That'd be so cool. Like a stealth cameo we find out about later, way later.
Right. So the other theory that I have is that if Plo Koon was going to show up, it would be a project that Dave Filoni was working directly on just because of that's his favorite Jedi, and that and Plo Koon has a lot to do with the Wolfpack and stuff. So it would make sense if Plo Koon were to show up that it would be a project that Dave Filoni was directly working on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, from this article also, there's something interesting that Leslie Headland does say. She states, which is a little bit of a spoiler, I guess, but I mean, it's on the website. She says that Vernestra Rowe is the only character from the High Republic, other media like books and comic books, that's going to appear. But she says, hopefully, spoiler for maybe if we do season two, she'll probably add more of the existing characters. And I think a lot of people are thinking it's going to be probably some of the main characters from The Light of the Jedi that might appear.
That would be amazing. Avar Chris,
I believe.
That is probably, so she's great. There's our man. I mean, yes.
Would he be old enough?
Like of him, Bell, Reeth, there are so many great like Jedi characters in there that I would love to see. And then you also have to remember there's Yoda, Yaddle, Yero Poof, Hopo Rancisis. There's like a lot of Jedi that we actually know that are alive around this point. But the question is, are we actually going to see them?
Terra Sanube.
With like Reeth and Bell and those characters, they were humanoid, so I don't know if they would be alive around that time. But only time will tell. But I would love to see that. And again, if you haven't read the books or listened to them in Audible, give them a shot. Like, they're really good. I'm really into all the stories. Like, it's fantastic. And then I also have the Star Wars High Republic character encyclopedia. That's helped me a lot to like understand like of the characters and give me more of a visual. So I would definitely get that book as well. But yeah, the High Republic is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So how many books have you read from the High Republic, and which ones, Colin?
I'm on the fourth one right now, like in chronological order. So I've read listened to, because it's on Audible. So Light of the Jedi, Into the Darkness, and then the third one. Give me one second. I should know this. Sorry.
Is guys. Into the Darkness, is that the one that features a young Vernestra Rowe? Because I remember there's a green skin question on the cover.
So Light of the Jedi and Into the Dark, and then The Rising Storm, and then the one I'm currently on is The Fallen Star.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So which character did Gabriel Luna say he wanted to play?
I was just going to bring that up. Elzar Mann, the character that Zach just mentioned. So we got to speak with Gabriel Luna at Dallas Fan Expo, and he's really into the High Republic, really into being in Star Wars. And of course,
it's really good.
He was the last, I think, iteration of the Terminator in the last Terminator film. He was also Ghost Rider in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yep.
And he's also Tommy, Pedro Pascal's brother in The Last of Us.
Oh, that's the same guy's Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never put that together.
Yeah. And he's from a lot of, our area. He went to school in Austin, I know. I'm not sure what town he's from, but he is a South
sweet.
Center. Yeah.
He's a big wrestling fan, too.
Yeah, I, you know, fun fact here. I actually just watched the first two Terminator movies for the first time, and then I haven't continued because the timelines are very confusing, apparently. So I'm just trying to figure that out. I'm not sure if we have any Terminator fans, but apparently
you're better than me. That's on my list. I was texting James today. I'm like, I need a list of movies to watch.
Yes, you do,
dude.
You
he sent me quite the list. Holy cow! Yeah, I haven't read it.
Because I feel like for you, it's going to be like Steve Rogers as soon as he comes back from being frozen. And then he's got like that small notebook,
but like that's 10 you. Times longer.
Yes, yeah. You uncultured Bantha. Come on, man.
My personality is a mix of some shows I like and Star Wars.
Yeah. Jeez.
Now, Terminator 1 and 2 are my favorites.
It's just after that, the timeline just gets confusing. And I guess there's a TV show too called the Sarah
Connor
Chronicles.
It doesn't feel like it's that confusing, Colin. That's interesting.
That one was good. Sarah Connor was good, though.
There is three timelines, David. There's like three timelines. Like,
it's all the same timeline.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I pulled up pictures just to make sure. I talked to Josh. So apparently after the third movie.
Salvation?
Apparently after the second movie. After that, there's like three timelines that like kind of stray away. So. With the final one that came out in 2019, you could count that as like a direct sequel to the second movie, but the other ones are like alternate timelines.
Though, well, I say ultimate time, it was basically them trying to make the movie again, but
yeah,
they were kind of, it was an ultimate time. It's supposed to be the same timeline, but it's just they were doing a different spin on the story. It's not like
a soft reboot, kind
of. It was kind of like a soft reboot.
Yeah, I guess it's really not that confusing if you kind of grew up with it and you kind of understand the base of what
it was kind of like what's Marvel doing, the multiverse concept? Like if we could track with the multiverse stuff going on, right?
Okay.
Terminator be like,
right. So that's different though, because of that's more clear. I would maybe compare this more to the whole X-Men reboot thing
with
like Days of Future Past, because they just rebooted it, and then an alternate timeline like came through, and that's
so like Terminator Salvation, the one that you're talking about, is where it has Batman. That's supposed to be kind of like the guy who played Batman.
Okay, I was like, hold on a second, there's no Batman. Way
I forgot his name. What's his name, David?
Michael Keaton?
No,
Christian Bale.
Val Kilmer.
Christian Bale.
No, yeah, Adam West. You could have had me so good on that live on the internet.
Dude.
Woo! Thanks, Ray.
Terminator and Batman together. No.
How did I not know about that?
Okay,
not to get that confused with Terminator versus RoboCop, the video game.
Yeah.
So what's the next movie I'm supposed to watch then? Is it Salvation or is it the third movie?
So the third movie was supposed to be the continuation of that part two.
Okay.
But it's, of course, him later in life and them sending another Terminator back to kill him.
Right.
But of course what they're doing is they're sending them back to kill his soldiers that he helps him build the group that survives or whatever. And that's what that one was supposed to be. And that one was great. I like that one too. It's just after that one, they wanted to do the kind of reboot / prequel. And then they did that one. That's where that one came in. And then after that one, they did the other one with the Game of Thrones actress, where it was kind of like a prequel as well.
Amelia Clark.
But this time they come out.
2015 or something.
Yeah. Terminator.
Wait, So does it go 1, 2, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, even though like it doesn't.
That
really
one was its own separate kind of, that was kind of like its own separate story.
A YouTube video out there that explains like,
I tried watching them and they all had the same answers, and it was like, not the same answers. It was all different answers. And that's why I'm asking live on the air right now.
Is it one of those open to your interpretation type deals?
It kind of is. Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. How you take it. I mean, like me. So I like them. And that's the thing about me. I love Star Wars too. I just love too much stuff. I watch too much TV. I used to get in trouble because my dad told me when I was growing up, I spent too much time in front of the TV and in front of movies. Dude, they would drop me off in the movie theater when I was like 10 years old. And I'd spend all day there jumping from one theater to another.
Yeah.
So when it comes to movies, that's why I'm so geeky to all this stuff. Yeah. But yeah. Terminator, like I have a shirt that says I am the future, and it's basically the Terminator robot. Yeah. But yeah, it's so much stuff, dude. Yeah. If you ask me, I can tell you from Doctor Who to Terminator to Battlestar Galactica. Yeah.
David has a picture.
Yeah, David has a picture of me with what's her name? Bo-Katan.
Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah. She's actually, I have an actual Viper. They only made like 500 of them or whatever. And I have her holding it. This was before she became Bo-Katan. But yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nice. So is there any other big Star Wars news going on? Is that right?
I think that's pretty much it as far as the news goes.
Well, no. Funko did release. There's a GameStop exclusive Boba Fett 18-inch that they're releasing. Whoa. But there's also a Chase figure in that size that they're releasing. And it's the white prototype figure.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So supposedly, you won't be able to tell which one you get because the packaging is sealed. It's in a box. So you won't know which one you get until it's open. It doesn't say Chase figure on the box or nothing. So,
dang.
It's one of those things.
Darn it.
Yeah. It's going to be, I think they're going to be pretty expensive for people who want that mystery and are going to chase that Chase figure.
I wonder if it's 1 in 6, like buying it off the website for the Chase, because like a pack of 6 come in a box and one of the 6 is a Chase from the distributor. I don't know if that's how they'll do it with the 18-inch, because I mean the most standard Funkos I think are like 4.2 inches, 4 inches, something like that. And
yeah,
it's a lot.
It'd be interesting, man. I'm actually tempted because they showed the pictures and I was like, damn, I don't have a Boba Fett. I don't have a real big 18-inch Funko Pop.
Yeah.
My wife has like 3 of them. She has the Target dog. She has the character from Harry Potter, he looks like an elf.
Dobby.
Yeah. She has Dobby. She has Baby Yoda, the real big one. That's cool. She has quite a bit of stuff.
I have that guy right there.
Babu. Oh, nice.
Yeah, Babu. And then right there, God, this is confusing. The Mandalorian. And I think over here you can't see it's Kylo Ren. So that's cool. I've got a lot of Funko Pops, and I'm not like a big fan of Funko Pops, but somehow they find their way to me.
Dude, I feel that. I'm trying to quit though.
But dude, they keep on releasing the good stuff, man. It's like, I know. My wife, I'm like,
the guy that stops drinking the milk. You're nice.
I haven't put that stake in the ground yet, though. But I am like the only Star Wars, I guess, collectible that I have signed by someone who's been in Star Wars as a Funko. And it's so satisfying. It's so cool. I can't wait to have more. That's what I'm planning on having Hayden sign when I meet him at SpaceCon this October as a Funko. Mm. But we'll see which one I pick.
I'm a big Spidey Gwen fan. So when they came out with these, I had to freaking get one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yep. It's like, so certain ones. I have my Tim Duncan one back there as well. I have my Kevin Smith one back there, the director's one. And actually, I purchased this one just because when she announced that she was doing Rogue Squadron, they came out with one for her as well. So I got her Pop figure.
Patty Jenkins?
Yeah.
A Patty Jenkins Pop?
She actually has a Pop.
Wait, seriously?
Yes.
Oh, dang. That's cool.
And I got it just for that maybe one day I can meet her to have her sign it.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet, man. So I got a really cool, like, it's a 5-pack of the Bad Batch all with their helmets off. I'd love to have Dee Bradley Baker sign that at some point. But I could go on and on about Funkos I want signed forever. So that's just a rabbit hole for me.
Dude, it's a thing for everyone, man. Everybody's got some Funko one or another.
Yeah, I got one on my desk at work for sure. Robbing today, Michigan State Sparty. That's what I got.
Nice.
Go Spartans.
Woo, go green. Let's go.
Go blue.
When did they play in the tournament, Ray? Come on.
I don't know, man. What's the name left? I think they fired
him. Yeah, he got canned, bro.
Yeah. It sucks. He was a good coach, too.
All right. So does anyone have anything else they want to bring to the table here?
No.
Man, go see the Phantom Menace at least on May 4, guys. Let's make this some sort of tradition that a Star Wars movie of some sort comes back to the theater on May 4. Like,
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to say this right now. I know that they're probably going to be bringing out Revenge of the Sith for like a special screening for next year, because next year marks the 20th anniversary of Revenge of the Sith. So that's awesome. It just makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
So I'm just throwing this out there. Let's do something. Let's do another giveaway for May 4th. For anyone who goes in. Well, no. So anyone who goes and sees the movie, I still have 2 Ahsoka prints. Okay. We haven't given away. And if they take a picture in front of the poster and then put hashtag for Instagram, Star Wars Stuff Pod.
Yeah.
And then like the page. And then we'll pick a winner to give away 2 of the prints.
Okay. We are currently doing a big one for the series finale of The Bad Batch. I'm not going to say what it is just yet, but it's very 2 cool collectible items that you can't get in stores. I'm just going to leave it at that. But
yeah. It's exciting. Very, very
cool. Yeah.
But then also don't forget, Colin, aren't you going to make the announcement of who's coming on the podcast next week?
I actually did that the last episode, but I can do it again. Next week, March 27th, we're going to have Daniel Roebuck, who played the wonderful character Grease from Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order, and he's been in some amazing projects. But he will be on the podcast live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come and join us. Talk to this great legend of a character and actor. And yeah, excited for that. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and awesome. He's done a whole lot of other stuff too in Hollywood. Oh, yeah. Grandpa Munster,
Lost. Absolutely.
He's actually airing. He's on 2 episodes that just came on 9-1-1 that aired last week, and in this week's episode, he's a character in that big episode, 2-part episode.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. And then if you wanted to hear another great person that we talked to, we had Vanessa Marshall on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and you can find that episode on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So go and check that out, because that was a very fun but emotional interview in certain spots. And you really see how much she loves Star Wars. So go and check out the interview. It's fantastic.
Yeah, she's really a lot like us, more than I thought she was. She was
dude. Hardcore. Yeah,
very much like one of us.
Hardcore. Absolutely.
It was cool to discover that. Yeah. All right. And before we go, I definitely want to thank all of our awesome supporters on Patreon. Hayden Hazard, Darth Ace One, Liam McCallion, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Deb McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel, Finwer 526. Maya Morris and Makatao Tala, thank you for all that love and support you've been giving us for years and years and years. And it helps us so much with daily costs for the podcast, supporting the podcast, hosting the podcast, buying merch, figuring out plans for future events, and doing giveaways like Ray mentioned. So thank you so much for that. And don't forget to hit like on the video, comment on the video on YouTube. That always helps. Also, if you're on Patreon, hit the like button there. We're also on Instagram, like we mentioned earlier, at Star Wars Stuff Pod. It's a new handle there, at Star Wars Stuff Pod. We're also on X, Twitter, at Stuff Pod. We're on Threads, Star Wars Stuff Podcast. We're also on TikTok. You can email the show at Star Wars Stuff Podcast at gmail.com. If you have any questions, anything you want to address. Also on Facebook, of course, a lot of people watch us there on our Facebook group, and we have a page. And that is pretty much it. And for Zach, Colin, and Ray, my name is David. May the Force be with you.
Always.
We need a Max Rebo series. I'm telling you what. Like, I just think that would be fantastic.
Maybe a toy.